Our Bible study that meets every Sunday at 6 o'clock, including tonight, of course, here in the sanctuary. And our newest topic that we're studying is Navigating Family Conflict. I tell you, this has been a really good study, and we've enjoyed it. We're now collecting items that will be sent to disabled vets, shut-in vets, or veterans of any veterans in need through October 27th for Operation North State. This is a really good deal. The list of items needed are in your bulletin today. Checks can be made payable to Operation North State, and our handmade cards, drawings from children, and are much appreciated also. These are really neat for kids to give out things like this. Collection boxes for your donation or in a Narthex and Ed building entrance to receive your donation. Look like this right here, I guess. Thank you for your support and the mission. Our fall festival will be Saturday, October 26th, from 2 to 5 in the parking lot in front of the fellowship hall. There'll be games, candy, lunch items, snow cones, and more. Please invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us. This is always fun. We need donations of bags of candy, and there's a donation box in the Narthex for that. As I think I usually call for hard candy, but I like the soft stuff. It doesn't hurt as bad when you throw it at people. Don't do that. The beautiful flowers today are in memory of Harriet and Jack Parker by Stephen, Charles, and Sandy Parker. Now Fred will share some a moment for mission with us, I think. And maybe he won't. There he is.
Good morning. Yeah, last Sunday we did a moment for mission for the North State, Operation North State. On the side of the box, it shows what the items are that that the veterans love to receive. And also there's a piece of paper on the table in the Narthex that lists those items. And you'll see some unusual things on there like Vitalis, hair tonic, and things like that. These are products that are actually made in North Carolina, so they tried to keep it all in state. But so this Sunday I want to talk to you about Operation Christmas Child. Yeah, it's that time already. So it is becoming the time of the season, right? So I just want to let you know a little bit about it. Let me read to you their mission statement. It's on their website, and then we have a real short video we want to share with you. The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way to children in need around the world. Through this project, Samaritan's Purse partners with the local churches worldwide to share the good news of Jesus Christ and make disciples of the nations. And there's a really good video if we can get it going. Let's see if we can make it happen. Not, we'll show it next time.
Praise is the water. When I went to the Samaritan's Purse website and saw that, I said, we got to show this. This is good music and everything. Also, there's a good article on there about a little bit about their history. And let me just share that with you because it kind of all started right here in Charlotte, believe it or not. What happened was in the summer of 1993, Franklin Graham received a phone call from a guy in England. And what he wanted to do is fill shoeboxes with gifts for children in Eastern Europe. I think mostly Bosnia, war-torn Bosnia. And Franklin agreed to it. But this was in the summertime of 1993, and he had all this time to forget about it. And his buddy in England called him around Thanksgiving and said, oh, how are we coming on these gifts? And so I think out of desperation, Franklin called his friend, the late Pastor Ross Rhodes from Calvary Church, you know, the big pink church on Highway 51, and said, I need some help. And of course, Ross Rhodes agreed to it. And a Sunday shortly after, Pastor Rhodes demonstrated for his congregation how to stuff these shoeboxes and how to include a letter to the child as well. And within weeks, the church had 11,000 shoeboxes lining their hallways. Due to the generosity and the additional gifts from Canada, Samaritan's Purse that first year sent out 28,000 gifts for children in the Balkans. And through these gifts, they communicated to the children and their families what the angel said to the shepherds about Jesus' birth. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And every year since, Samaritan's Purse has collected shoebox gifts filled with toys, school supplies, and hygiene items for children around the world. And since 1993, they've given out 220 million shoeboxes, that's all, to 170 different countries and regions. And the project delivers not only the joy of what for many kids is their first gift ever, but also gives them a tangible expression of God's love. Tens of thousands of volunteers from local churches participate in sharing the gospel. And what they do is they have these festive events like this in the churches and then present the gifts to the children. And in addition to bringing great joy to millions of boys and girls in need, gifts are accompanied by the good news of Jesus Christ. Many children have been invited to follow up discipleship through a 12-lesson program called The Greatest Journey. And it's designed especially for shoebox recipients. And we praise God that over the last three decades, over 50 million children have made decisions to follow Christ and been discipled through this 12-study program. So what an awesome thing, and it happens every year. Every box is an opportunity to reach a child with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the boxes, I've already put some together and folded them for you. If you take a box, also take this brochure because it tells you exactly what to put in these boxes as far as what the children love and what they need. So we've got them. If you come in the front door of the church, they're on that left side, those two shelves, and these are on the table close by. Okay, thank you.
When are they due?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, they are due the collection week, it says right on the front of this, is November 18th through the 25th. That's the week before Thanksgiving. And Operation North State is due in 2 weeks, actually. So we have next Sunday and Sunday after, basically, for Operation North State. But, yeah, we've got a little more time on Operation Christmas Child. And if you want to, you can bring them to the church, and we'll collect them all up and take them to a collection center, or you can turn them in on your own, either way. Anything else? All right. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned Franklin Graham. Have you read his book?
No, I have not.
You got to read it. It tells that story you just told.
Oh, really?
Okay. It's really interesting, and how he, like you said, how he got started with that.
Yeah.
And it's good. I wish I could remember the name of it. This is not a commercial.
Well, I heard Ross Rhodes preach, you know, before he died, and he was a great preacher. He really was.
Come, let us worship the Lord our God. In the storms and in the calm, He is with us. Let us lift our voices in praise. May we seek His truth and grace.
Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we come before you with open hearts, grateful for your mercy that meets us new every morning. We are aware of our shortcomings, our fears, and our doubts, but we know you are a God who heals, who forgives, who restores. As we gather in this place, may your Holy Spirit fill us, lifting our burdens and opening our eyes to your glory. Let this time of worship be more than words or songs. Let it be a transformative encounter with you. Draw us closer, unite us in love, and empower us to walk in your light as we leave this place. Open our ears to hear the truth and our hearts to receive your grace. We surrender this time to you, O Lord, knowing that you, in our presence there, is fullness of joy and peace beyond understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Please stand if you can and sing Trusting Jesus. The words are on the screen, and this is number 323 in the Brown Hymnal.
This is a new hymn, so we're going to do something a little different. The choir and I are going to sing through the whole song, so you can pick it up, and then we'll start again, and you will join us in verse 1. So we want you to hear what it sounds like.
Trusting as the days go by.
We come now to a time of confession and an affirmation of faith. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Join me, please, in the prayer of confession. Gracious God, we confess our sins before you. We have fallen short in love, in thought, and in action. Forgive us, cleanse us, and renew us by your grace. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we have been eternally claimed by an eternal and loving God. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. This morning we have a little different order. On number 622 in your brown hymnal, and up here on the screen, we have the Apostles' Creed. And today I would like to recite that and say what we believe before we sing it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now I'd like to invite all the children to come up.
Good morning, kids. How are we? Good. How's school? School good? Good. You like your teachers? You like your classes? You play a lot? Have a lot of fun? No, you don't play a lot. I can see that. I'm sorry. What does it mean to seek something? If you are seeking something, what does that mean? You're looking for it. What else? What else? What are some things that you would seek for? If you're in your house or you're looking for something, what would you be looking for? A penny? Money? Of course. Of course, yes. What else?
Car keys.
Car keys. Make a note of that, Beth. All right. Car. What else? What else do you seek? The remote. There we go. Take it. Good job. What else do you seek? You know what I, when I was a little kid, I sought food. Because I was an eater. I'm still an eater. So I would go because I had a hunkering for sweets. So you know what I would seek? I would try to go find cookies because I love cookies. So I would go in there and try to be tricky. I never was. I thought I was. But, you know, parents know. Have you ever tried to seek for food? Yeah. Yes. Every night. Well, you're seeking food and you want the car keys. There seems to be a theme here. Hey, what, when you are actively looking for something, what is the best thing that happens when you're looking for it? You find it, okay? Have you ever played hide and seek? Okay. Isn't it fun when you finally find the person who's hiding? No. Your dad scares you. I'm sorry to hear that. he goes, boo. Oh, okay. Okay, I got you. Well, there's a game called Sardines. We used to play in a youth group when we were at a retreat, and it's the opposite of hide and seek. So one person hides, and when you find that person, you join them. And after a while, everybody who's hiding gets bigger and bigger, and soon there's only one person left that's looking for everybody else. And this was really funny because we were in a big inn up in Montreat, and everybody decided to hide in a big shower. So guess what happened? Somebody turned the shower on, and everybody went flying. It was really funny. But it's always fun when you find what you're looking for. Well, you know what? That same excitement when it comes with Jesus. A lot of people haven't found Jesus, which means they don't know Jesus. They haven't accepted Jesus. They haven't said, Jesus, you're my Savior. When you find Jesus, you find life and you find joy and you find things that you possibly couldn't do. And it's even greater than any cookie or any car keys or anything that you could find. Because when you find Jesus, you find His salvation and His love and His joy. And that's something that we can share about when you find something. Okay? Join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, help us to always seek You in our daily lives because it brings us joy and happiness and it helps us know the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.
Draw us into communion, enable us to love, conspire, make us one with You for the word You so deeply love. Amen.
Hey, James, we have a song.
Y'all sing.
So you can sing with us.
Yeah, you can sing it.
This song is we're going to be doing some spirituals in the next several weeks, so this might bring back some memories. My bluegrass band sang this song. This is one of our favorites. And it's called Church in the Wildwood. And if you're an Andy Griffith fan, they sang it in one of the Andy Griffith episodes as well. So, and if you know it, feel free to sing along. There's a church.
Of you could see the little brown church. See the church, just steeple sticking up. I've said a lot that one of the prettiest things you see when you ride up through the mountains are the steeples sticking up out of the trees. That's just beautiful to me. This Psalm, I think it's 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my God and my salvation." Title is Seeking God. I have a day hiker, and in this day hiker, I would use it when I'd go on small hikes or just go on little excursions, going to be gone out from the vehicle or the house for a day. I keep it two fire starters, a poncho, it's energy bars, a flashlight, a small emergency kit, a first aid kit, bottle of water, things like this that I might need. Just a knife, essentials, things you're going to need if you run into a little trouble. And just also used to keep a tent and a sleeping bag, a couple sleeping bags in the back of my truck. Ain't no telling when you might break out into a camping spree or something, is there? This, today, that day hiker is hanging on a peg in the shop. Tent and sleeping bags are laying on a shelf. Is this the way we do God? Do we have him put in a box and put on a shelf when we need him? Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God above all else." He needs to be a main priority in our life. He wants to be up front. He wants us to worship wholeheartedly, come to him with praise, thanksgiving, and trust. When we put him first, all other things just kind of smooth out. Even there's not going to be a smooth road, but the bumps in the road are easier, and they're easier to take. I'm pretty sure Jason could attest to that fact today, couldn't he? That is, the road is not smooth, but God does make it easier for us to go through this. We read devotionals, have two devotionals we read every day, and I read some devotionals in a tablet. I read the other day, said, when you need something, pray for God. And when I read this, the way it struck me is you're waiting till you need something, and then you pray. Don't wait. Pray every day. Come to God every day. We start our day by saying a prayer every morning. I need it, because I know every day I'm going to run into some kind of problem or bump in the road, and that's good. Let me say, it was a pleasure this morning to stand up here and look out and see kids between the parents or grandparents. It's just a wonderful sight to me to see that. It was good. So let them holler. I pray every day. It is a part of my life. It's a part of our life, because, as I said, it makes the world go easier when we do. God wants us to have a personal relationship with him. How do we do this? What does it mean? We have people, I hope you all have somebody that you lean on, that you love to be with. I do. That I want to spend every day with, all the time I can confide in. It's, you love, and you can just, it's a pleasure to be with. You can talk to them about anything and everything, and you don't have to say anything. Just be with. This is the relationship God wants. He wants a marriage between us and him. He wants to be there all the time. You know, so many times, as I said, you put God in the box and you call on him when something happens. He don't want to just be with us through the bad times in our life. He wants to share the good times. What good is that for him if the only time we call on him is when we're in trouble, and never call on him when we're having a good time? He wants to be a joyful God too. He is a joyful God. This is the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. You know, when we read the Bible, we need to be able to take in God's Word. As I thought about it, it's eating a good meal. We had a good meal last night, and it was simple. Beans and cornbread. And just when you read the Bible, just like eating them beans and cornbread, eat slow, or cutting a steak, a good savory steak. Take it in slow. Breathe it in. Suck it all in. As I thought this morning, when we come to God, we need to come to God open. We need to come to him. I hate to use this, but we need to come to him naked, in a sense. Not closed, but emotionally, just completely open to him. So we can take him in. He wants to be with us all the time. We can take him in. And it's just love him. You know, one of the things I have in my day hiker is a compass. Carry it with me all the time. Sometimes I need it. Figure out which way to go. God put the North Star in the sky so he can guide us. We'll be guided right here on earth. Well, he also gave us another compass right here. Here. The Bible. That was him. Right here is our compass. As we use that too. But the Bible here is our compass in life. In this, we can find our way when we're lost. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. This is what we need to study, and we need to take it in. When I was a kid, I'd read it. Mama made me sit down and read the Bible. Oh, I hated it. It was just, you like it? I would read the words, but I wouldn't take it in. Today, I want to take it in, just read every word, and sometimes I can't read fast enough, and then I got to slow down because I want to see what the next verse is. And just, we need to be able to take it in like that because this is our moral compass. We don't have a lot of that today, it seems. We need to start every day thanking God. It's just, a while back we read a devotional, and the title was Deserving God. And I took that, when I first read it, I thought, me deserving God? Because I don't. I don't deserve God. I don't deserve the grace He has given us. And I never can without Jesus. But it wasn't what it was talking about. It was God deserving us. Have you ever thought about that? Do you think about God deserving you? He does deserve us. He paid the ultimate price to have us. Think about it. He gave His only Son for us so we could have salvation and spend eternity with Him. That's what He wanted to start with, was to spend eternity with us. He gave up His Son so we could. So yes, He does deserve us. He deserves to have us completely paying attention, our full attention. Sitting in here when we come to worship, sometimes I know we sit and our mind wanders, and what am I going to do? What am I going to have for lunch? And what time's the ball game come on? He wants our full attention when we read the Bible, take it in, our full attention now. He deserves this. He deserves to have our full attention, and He does deserve us. Jesus has already paid the price, like I said. He wants us to love Him. How do we show our love for God? Matthew 22:39 and John 13:34 and 35 tell us, love each other as He loved us, and it will show others that we love Him and that He loves us. We need to love the people around us. Love all people. You know, I know there's a diverse group around us now. Everybody, this is a different community today, and our country is different. But all of them are God's people, and we need to love them all. And you know, one of the ways that we show God's love is how we treat others and by helping others. And I think this storm, Helen, and the latest storm also, is a proof that God's people love each other, and we're a whole lot better off with godly people than we are with the government, because God's people reach out to each other and help each other where government doesn't always do that. And I'm not going to do a political statement today. But a few years ago, I guess it was about 8 or 10 years ago, I was sitting on the front porch and I was watching a report on a storm that had come through up in West Virginia in the mountains, flooded a town, flooded more than one town. And it was odd to me, and I sat there thinking, it is odd that what caused these people so much problem, they needed today, water. It's odd that after a flood you need water, but you do. And as I'm sitting there thinking about that, God touched me and said, James, do something. So I did. Excuse me. I got up and took a trailer, put water in it, and brought it up here and put a sign on it. Dale and I talked about it, and y'all filled it up. Y'all filled that trailer up with water, and the next problem I had is finding somewhere to take it up there. It was a shame that I had to hunt that hard, but I did, and I found a woman that was cooking meals for this community, and so took a trailer up there, ended up taking 2 trailer loads of stuff that y'all gathered and put in this trailer. The reason I bring this up is this woman I took it to called me the other day, and it surprised me that she even remembered who I was. But she said, I remember every time there's a storm up here, I think of you and what y'all did for us. and she wanted to know if she could do anything for us. I told her, no, take your stuff to the mountains. People remember this. People remember what God's people do, good or bad. We want to show them what we can do, and we're doing it again through these collection boxes and the things reaching out to people. This is what we do, and this is how we help people. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you look for me wholehearted, you will find me. Matthew 7 says, knock and the door will open. Seek and you will find. He's telling us to seek for him. If God doesn't want us to find him, why does he tell us so much to seek for him and how to find him? Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and he will sup with me and I will sup with him. Not only is he there looking for us or wanting us to seek him, he comes to us. He will make, but we've got to get up and open the door. We've got to make an effort. Think about it. Jesus is seeking us. He wants us to be with him. Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Psalm 63 says, seeking God should be a top priority. Proverbs 3:5-6 reminds us to seek him in times of need and trust him. You know, we have to put our trust in what, when we come to God and ask him for help, trust him. Do we put our trust in God? I know there's times that I've gone through life and I said before, I used to never pray for me. I would rely on me. Pretty dumb, isn't it? But that's the way I was. And I thought, well, I don't want to use up God's time with my little problems. God's there. There's no problem too small or too big for God to take care of. He wants us to come to him all the time. We need to be aggressive in seeking God. We need to reach out and not be passive, not just sit in the house and wait on him to come to us. Yes, Jesus said, I knock on the door. Get up and open the door. Don't wait on him to knock it down and come in. Get up and go to him. There are times when we put God on the back burner. Let him simmer. This is not what he wants. He wants in our life all the time, wholeheartedly, full in our life. How do we keep God to the front? By thinking about him. Start our day with prayer. Have him in our life all day. Jesus said, ask, seek. And these are three things that he says us to do, that we must do. Ask, pray, pray daily. Have not only a prayerful, but a prayer-filled life. Seek, look for God in your day-to-day life. You know, it's wonderful to be able to see God in your day-to-day life. And we've traveled coast to coast and border to border, and it is a blessing. And I've thought of this just about every day we travel, that it is a blessing to be able to see God in all the things we have seen and the places we've been. And the place that comes to mind to me is Bryce Canyon. I couldn't think of the name of the place. Bryce Canyon. And if you've ever been there, you ride down through there, and it's a curvy road, and you're in and out of these curves and in and out of mountains and over hills. Every time you go over a hill or around a curve, there's a different view. It's like you're flipping pages continually and seeing these pictures. And only it's not a picture. It is God's landscape that he's done this wonderful painting. He could have made this world completely flat and dull, but he didn't. He gave us a beautiful place to reside, and I hope every one of you can see this beauty. We call it nature, and it is natural because God put it here. He made a natural place for us to see. The other thing is not. This takes action, and we have to get up and do something. God has made it fairly simple for us, hasn't he? He has done all the work. All we have to do is accept it. One of the things we really need when we're seeking God is humility. was to say pride comes before the fall. Pride can get in the way. Psalm 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek God. God is not in his thoughts. It wasn't pride that kept me from calling on God before. It was I didn't want to bother him. But how many times does pride get in our way? We come to him humble. So don't let pride get in the way. God is there waiting for us to call on him. 1 Chronicles 28:9 tells us, if you seek him, he will be found. He is not hiding from us. He is there, open, wanting us to come to him all the time. Psalm 105:4, seek the Lord and his strength and seek his presence continually. Amen. Please stand and let us sing. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word, read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and love. We trust that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond to them as well. In humility and faith, we lift up our prayers of intercession and supplication. We pray for all those people who have been afflicted by severe illness. We pray for the individuals who are fighting this disease presently, as well as for their families. We pray for families who've lost loved ones. We pray for this world broken by sin. We pray for our country, praying that your Holy Spirit would allow us to find common ground and continue to be a beacon of hope in the world. We pray for all the communities torn apart by acts of unnecessary violence. Heal this world through the healing of our hearts, which begins with our repentance and continues through the daily pouring out of our lives in the pursuit of assisting others. We pray for all those in Cook's prayer list, Nancy Smith, Jack and Jeannie McClure, Charlie McKay, Charlie McCrary, Ronnie Peterson, Ellen Jackson, Sharon Gilmore, all the many flood victims. from Helena and the latest flood, and many others that are indeed. We make all these prayers hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, that we make them all in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. So,
thank you.
Please feel free to use any of the following options to donate to the Cooks Church and their mission to serve Christ in this area. The QR code located in the pew racks and on the bulletin to donate electronically. Online giving or place your gift on the way is out in the offering plates that are available on the offertory table and in front of the sanctuary and outside. Thank you for supporting church. Now, know that you live and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Fear not the things of this world. Help others. Share the gospel. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you. Before I forget, the prayer room will be open today, just right after here, and it'll be Kay and I will be in there. Kay will be there just in a few minutes. For any prayers you may have, any wants or needs, or just joys that you want to share with God, come and pray. Prayer is our connection with God. Thank you.
You shall go out in joy and good and forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap.
Thank you.